That's the best order I've had.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Okay, how's that, Hal? Cool. Okay. Welcome, folks, to the second annual Basketball Bible Conference, the BBC. We're really glad to see you all here. We're glad that the speakers all made it, and that we're going to be discussing Colossians 3, 1 through 4, and later on in our conference. Tonight we have Mr. Ed Medrano from South Dakota. He's going to be getting into the Koine Greek, the Greek of the New Testament that God instituted to put forth his holy word of the New Testament. We're studying that. We're going to make this a thing that we do at every conference. And Ed has got excellent zeal for the Word of God and for the Greek, so we call him Eddie the Greek. He's a good man for it. And we believe in a rightly divided scriptures here. We believe that at the end of Acts, Israel was put aside as a nation. And we believe that the Lord unfolded the greatest truth of, ever in the scriptures, the mystery, through the Apostle Paul, a mighty thing. We believe that this mystery has to be spiritually discerned by the Holy Spirit. That's what Paul prayed about in Ephesians 1. And we are that is our gospel or our good news. There are many gospels in the scriptures. And this is the gospel, no matter how popular or not, this is the one we know to be true. And we know that we were predestined to and called to be adopted sons of God. And that's what our conferences are all about here. Without further ado, we're going to have Eddie the Greek up here. His name is Eddie Medrano. And he's going to be instructing us in the Koine Greek. Thank you.
Thank you, Mike. Those are very kind words, and we give all the glory to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And talking about the Koine Greek now, if you'll just follow with me in this transparency. Can everybody see it back there? All right, hopefully you can also hear me, so that way you'll get a visual and also a vocal from myself. Koine Greek studies with emphasis on the current dispensation of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ as assigned to the Apostle Paul by Jesus Christ, our ascended Lord. Given at Boscobel, Wisconsin, the evening of September 17, 2004. Like Mike was saying, I'm going to just deviate a little bit from there just to say that there are many gospels in the world and in the Word of God. But today, for us, there is only one gospel. And that one gospel is called, in Ephesians 3:9, the dispensation of the mystery. If you look at your, I don't know what version you folks have, but I have yet to see a version that says the dispensation of the mystery, the administration of the mystery, or the stewardship of the mystery. That would be in Ephesians 3:9. If you'll open your Bibles there, this particular Bible that I have here says fellowship of the mystery, which that word does not belong there. And it can be proven by looking at the original text, which I have a copy of here, as near as you can get to the original inspired Word of God. It is in the Greek language. And Ephesians 3:9 here, I've got all it marked in red. It's called the book of Ephesus. Ephesians in the Greek. And Ephesians 3:9 calls it oikonomia in Ephesians 3:9. That oikonomia means dispensation of the mystery, administration of the mystery, or stewardship of the mystery. Those are the three front-running words that oikonomia means. Some real good interlinears will tell you that it is oikonomia and not koinonia, which is fellowship of the mystery. And that's what most Bibles have, is fellowship of the mystery. And we can prove that it is oikonomia by going by doing or performing rather a study from the figures of speech by Dr. Bullinger. Dr. Bullinger has done much for the gospel of today, and I'm going to explain the gospel of today first tonight before we go any farther with some of these Greek words. These Greek words are also difficult for me. Maybe not as difficult as they are for some of you, but I'm still learning just like you are. But if we follow the figures of speech by Bullinger, this is what it looks like. You can get it at Truth for Today. This volume here has become two volumes because they wanted to make it larger print. This is kind of a small print here. But there are some truly wonderful things here pertaining to the original. Now, Dr. Bullinger, I'm going to back up a little bit to somebody even more authoritative than Dr. Bullinger, and that would be the Apostle Paul. He is the one that was given the words from somebody even higher than himself. And I just mentioned that over here tonight. The Apostle Paul, by Jesus Christ, our ascended Lord. When he ascended, he gave word to Paul as he appeared to him or talked to him from the heaven above all heavens. How the Lord does that, I can't explain. But Paul heard him, and Paul wrote it. And when he wrote it, and it became the text. If you can get yourself one of these, and one of these, the figures of speech, I urge you to get one, and one of these. This is by the Barbara and Timothy Freiberg.
What does that say is the title of it?
The title of it is the Analytical Greek New Testament. We call it the AGNT. Mike?
We found out shortly after we purchased those from that big old book wholesaler.
Baker.
No, Christian.
Book distributor, yeah. CBD, that those are out of print now.
Mm-hmm. So they went into another edition.
Yeah. Oh, they did?
Yeah.
There's
a few changes.
Okay, either that or I would. What is that? Zondervan, or are those used bookstores in Michigan? Baker's is one of them.
Baker.
Kriegel, yeah. They might have used ones. Because we think that Tony Lopez, he found one used.
So, $24. Can you imagine that?
That's a very, so what we're saying is that's probably the best text to have. Wouldn't you say it?
I would say so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Judging from what Bullinger has done here and proven by his knowledge on the Greek grammar and all of his writings. In addition to the AGNT, the Freibergs have put up what they call a lexicon called the Analytical Lexicon of the Greek New Testament. Timothy Freiberg, Barbara Freiberg, and another lady by the name of Neva Miller. They came up with something wonderful here. And they have two other books called the Analytical Concordance. It's nothing like the Strong's. The Strong's is good. It's lovely as far as I'm concerned because we have had the privilege of using numbers rather than words. Numbers are good if you don't know any Greek. But if you know Greek and numbers, you've got double. You've got double knowledge, and your knowledge increases. However, I'm going to mention this. We cannot have any knowledge without first the Lord Jesus Christ opening up the word into your own heart. We all have witnessed that. We all pray for that. And we'll pray tonight that the Lord opens up the scriptures. We discussed that over supper tonight about the two men from Emmaus. When they said after Jesus spoke to them, didn't our hearts burn as he opened up our scriptures to us? And the Lord opened up his identity to them. They didn't know who he was at first. And then when they broke bread, the Lord, by his mighty power, opened up their understanding that they might even recognize who he is. I could just hear, this is a guy they crucified 3 days ago. You know? That's just how beautiful it is when you get into the Greek, follow the figures of speech, and it's amazing what the Lord can open up if you're just interested in the text and love His original inspired word. We know that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, profitable for reproof, profitable for correction and instruction in righteousness. That's what it's all about, folks. That's what it's all about. And we all know that. And we love to talk about it. You speakers are so fortunate to be here tonight. I know I am. I feel wonderful to be here discussing this thing. It's beautiful. I just can't express enough. Like the two men from Emmaus, they said the Greek word, didn't our hearts burn? The word burn in the Greek, if you look it up, you'll have to learn the Greek tonight, at least some of it. You'll find out what the Greek word is. I can tell you what it is because I've been studying it. And the Greek word for burn is kaio. K-A-I-O. Kaio. It's kappa, alpha, iota, omega. That's what it is. Kaio. And that doesn't give you the definition because you don't know Greek. But you know what they said. Didn't our hearts burn as He opened up the Scriptures to us? That word kaio means didn't we receive or witness a fervent emotion? That's what kaio means, a fervent emotion. Anyway, so much for the two men from Emmaus. When I first heard about the two men from Emmaus, well, to me, it was just, I had just gotten saved, and I learned how wonderful it was to meet Jesus, and it was a nice thing. Here it is. Here I am, 30 years later, explaining what the two men from Emmaus really did. They were walking on the road to Emmaus, and Jesus walked behind them, and He was asking them, why do you walk here saddened? Why are you sad? Here the Lord is actually not pitying them, but actually beckoning their friendship. He was about to introduce Himself to these two guys. And haven't you heard what happened about the things 3 days ago? They didn't say about the execution yet, but the Lord says, what things? What things? It's in Luke chapter 24. If you're interested, later on you can look up that story. What things? Well, you must really be a stranger in town if you don't know what happened 3 days ago. They took this man who was a nice man. He did miracles. He raised the dead. Healed the sick. And they executed him 3 days ago. Those are the things. So he had more fellowship with them. They invited him home to stay with them for the night. They did. But at supper time or at mealtime, the Lord broke bread and He opened up their understanding and recognized Himself, and He taught them about the Psalms and the prophets. And the Lord said, these are the words that I spoke to you concerning the prophets, the Psalm, concerning Me. And here they were preaching to the Lord, and the Lord was opening up the Scriptures to them. And then after the Lord got through doing that, He vanished. Poof, He's gone. I've got to make a point of that. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. It does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that we shall appear. We shall be
like
Him. Amen. We shall be like Him. And then the peace of God will be in your heart, and you'll forever be before Him. And that word, to be before Him, is enopion in the Greek. Enopion means you are in the light, in His sight.
Can you spell that?
Enopion. Epsilon, nu, iota, omicron,
We don't know the number of letters.
Okay, E-N-O-P-I-O-N.
Okay.
That's close as I can do it without looking, so it's good. Oh, anyway, in the light in his sight, we will be with him forever. In the light in his sight, in perpetuity. You know what that means? That means in perpetual, 24 hours a day, without intermission. Can you imagine? Can you imagine, Ronnie? Praise the Lord. Amen. Boy, think about it. Yeah, precious.
24/7.
Huh?
24/7, they all say.
Of what book?
That's an expression.
Oh, no. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Oh, 24/7, okay. Yeah, thank you. Didn't know that. Okay, let's go back to the chart here. The theme that we are using tonight is the appearing of Jesus Christ. Take a look at the transparency up there. The appearing of Jesus Christ with his saints in glory, as recorded in his word in the book of Colossians chapter 3, verse 4. And with that, you can change the transparency. Kath?
Wait just a minute.
That'll come up later.
Oh, it will.
Yeah, you just read the. That comes from any good interlinear. I use the Barry's, or you can use J.P. Green's interlinear to study the Greek, and you have the English translation, and you also have the inflections in all the verbs and the nouns and all this business. Greek. We're going to go more into that a little later on. Page 2. Kathy's doing the page 2, aligning it for me there. And I'm sure you can see it because it's exactly like the one that was up there before. Parts of speech. Each is a system. Each part of speech, noun, pronoun, verbs, etc., are all what is called by grammarians a system. Adjectives, pronominals, adverbs, determiners, or definite articles. We don't use definite articles in a five-case grammar system. The preposition system, the conjunction system, particles. Each has a category, definition, and its specific function. You see that today, to understand the text, you have to go into the science of the words in order to understand what the Lord has said. This is all going to be worth it to you, folks. Don't think it's a lot of boring material. It might be, but try to battle with that it's not. I have done a lot of that, argued with it. Well, that's Greek to me, and you know, you hear that a lot. I heard that tonight, even. Somebody, who said Greek to me tonight? Yeah, it's Greek to me. All right, let it be. Praise the Lord if it's Greek to you. Hey, glory, hallelujah. Praise God, that's good. I'm glad it's not English or Japanese or whatever other language. Because any other language, aside from the inspired text, is second rate, wouldn't you say? Yeah, because all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and that all Scripture is the text. It was written in Greek. And Paul had what they call an amanuensis. Who can tell me what an amanuensis is? What is an amanuensis?
Spell that.
I can't. Yes, I can. It's A-M-M-E-N-U-E-N-E-N-C-E-S. Amanuensis. An amanuensis is a person, like for example, I'm preaching. No, I don't mean I'm preaching. I don't like to preach.
You're teaching.
I like to teach, yeah. But preach, no. Proclaim the Lord Jesus Christ, yes. Amen. Love it. If I said that, Kathy over here is writing down everything for me in longhand, shorthand, as fast as she can. And then she does it in the original. Let's say Paul does all this, she would be my amanuensis. Paul couldn't write because he couldn't see. He was by like, I'm getting. It's hard for me to read that and to read here, period, and to read what I'm reading. It's very difficult for me now. But, well, I'm a little old, too, but, and also with cataracts that I haven't had removed yet. You wait till I remove those cataracts. Today we can do that. Okay. Let me continue here with, by the way, if you have any questions, let's jot them down, and we'll discuss them later. Make a note of it and call it the parking lot. Put it in a parking lot. You'll never forget that, will you?
Yeah. Where is our parking lot?
It's in your own desk, in your own notes. That'll be your parking lot. Put it in the parking lot, and that'll be... Okay. We left off with each part of speech is a system, like the nouns, the learning of the nouns is a noun system. Adjectives and verbs, there are systems. In Koine Greek grammar. Okay. And they are not called words either. They're called forms. Forms. I don't know if you've heard of morphology or not, but word forms and morphology is a study of word formations. I'm going to get deeper into that. Right now, I got to get rid of the boring stuff. It is boring. I'll agree with you. It's boring, but it's necessary, not just for you, but it's necessary for me to relate what I'm going to relate after a while. And you only had 6 pages double-spaced. It's not bad. It's not bad. The Koine Greek is a synthetic language. Inasmuch as the definition of the word form is dependent on its inflection for its proper analysis. For example, the stem, together with its prefix and its suffix, word endings, and word terminations, all components working together give us the inflected and the much-needed lexical form. The idea to learn the Greek is to learn, number one, the alphabet. I learned the alphabet 30 years ago, and then I couldn't find anybody interested in the Greek, and it's taken me 30 years to finally... You're happy that we're having a conference here, Mike? I'm so happy that I'm finally able to teach a little bit of the Greek that the Lord has taught me in 30 years. It's a precious thing. After mastering the Greek alphabet and the diphthongs, we are ready to... Page 3. I'm going to repeat that last sentence here. After mastering the Greek alphabet and its diphthongs and the breathing marks and the accents, we are ready to master the Koine Greek. We're on our way to mastering the Koine Greek. And you sit here and say, well, how in the world can I ever master the Greek if it's all Greek to me? You know what? That God can do it. Didn't he open up their understanding that they could understand the scriptures? Yeah. Well, he did. Didn't Bullinger write the figures of speech? He wrote practically all of the companion Bible. It's a precious Bible. Helps in there with a lot of Greek material in there. And that Greek puts a lot of more force into your talks, into your studies, into your association with the Master, the Lord, Jesus Christ. Oh, praise the Lord. Now we have over here, we have inflected forms, New Testament words, text words. These are nearly inspired, but they're not inspired either. But they're so close, and you'll see a lot of examples as you study. You'll be reading your Bible, and you'll say, "Well, how do I know that that's what the Bible is telling me?" Well, Master the Greek, you find out. I'll give you one example just real quick. There's a word that says, let your moderation be known to all men. Okay, what does that mean? Does it mean to be moderate in your eating, be moderate in your speaking, be moderate in your walking, be moderate in your exercising? No, it doesn't mean that at all. Let your gentleness be known to all men. Your manner of life, your worthy walk, let it be known to all men. Especially we in the church, the church of the one body. It's an honor to be there, folks. We are there in the church of the one body by the loving desire of the Master. And I can prove that to you by defining what he said. He speaks the truth. By his desire, loving desire, didn't he say that you're accepted in the beloved? Yes. That's the love. The word thelemas will explain more of what I'm trying to explain. We talked about this over supper. The word thelemas is the will of the Father.
Would you spell that, please?
Thelemas. Spell Thelma and just put an E there where it goes. And you got it. The will of the Father is thelemas. In the text, thelemas. What that means, and I'll give you a comparison from the Old Testament. What the thelemas means is that the Lord Jesus Christ has a deep loving desire, design and purpose, needing no one's counsel to put you in the dispensation of the mystery. To put you as a learner of the gospel of today. There's no other gospel today, although all scripture is given by inspiration of God, but a gospel, the good news, glad tidings for you today is what we have. You don't have, you're not building an ark over there with Noah. You're not sacrificing animals anywhere. You're not doing anything that Israel was supposed to be doing and they failed. And they didn't do it. You're not there. That's not your gospel. The gospel of Matthew is not yours. Mark, Luke, John, that's not your, maybe part of John. Those are not your gospel. The Pentecost period, that's not your gospel. Healing the sick, raising the dead, that's not your gospel. You're in a better gospel. Better than healing the sick and raising the dead? Yes. Absolutely yes. Why? Because of the sphere of blessing, that's why. We are the people that are a peculiar treasure to the Father, and that would be Jesus Christ, by the way. You are the peculiar treasure of Him that's going to spend eternity at the right hand of the Father in the heaven above all heavens. You're not going to stay on earth with Abraham and all these other guys that, or Peter, James, and John, all those guys that are going to spend their eternity on earth, although it's going to be a blessed earth, it's going to be a wonderful earth, because the holy city is there, the foundation stones are jasper and different beautiful stones, and the giant pearl gates are there. It's a beautiful place. But set your affections on things above, according to Colossians. No, that's not there. That was the previous one. Set your affections on things above. In other words, set your affections means to set your mind. have your mind set on things above. That is better than raising the dead and healing the sick. Right, Mike?
Right.
Right, Diane?
Right.
Right, Ronnie?
Amen.
Right. Amen? Everybody?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. That's better than healing the sick and raising the dead. Because I don't know what God's going to do with us, but if the Lord Jesus Christ can come to earth at the speed of thought and talk to the two men from Emmaus and open up the scripture and all of that, I think he's going to let us do that. And he's going to let us vanish too. That word vanish, Greek word for vanish, is aphantos. Almost sounds like phantom to me. But it's aphantos, which is the capability of vanishing from sight.
Like a phantom.
Well, no, don't say that. I said that. Not the word didn't say that. The word says aphantos.
How do you spell that?
Alpha, a.k.a. P-H-A-N-T-O-S. Aphantos. Okay, now, did we finish or we just start? We're about the middle here. There's a lot of good stuff here, good, wonderful stuff here. I'm going to try to go faster. Let's go to line, select a line, somebody, where we left off, and read the next line. God's language is by his inspiration. Is that good enough? Fair enough. God's language is by his inspiration. That means God breathed, 2 Timothy 3:36. That we might be inspired by his every word. And that means inspired by his every word in his original, in the original text, in this period of the gospel, this administration of the mystery that he gave us from heavenly places to Paul, to Bullinger, to Welch, and to you, dear folks. Beautiful place to be. Amen. He has made it profitable for us, tasty, palatable, and appealing. Now all we endeavor to rightly divide the word, dissect, cut, straightly cut, 2 Timothy 2:15. We're not to dissect English words, we dissect the text words and learn what they're all about. Look at a lexicon and look at that word, and you'll find its inflected form in the lexicon. You compare it with the AGNT or the text that we have today. And you from there you take it for a ride over here to the figures of speech, and you get more blessing, more dessert, so to speak, after you've had lunch. Oh, it's nice. Okay, now listen to this. How many of you have heard, really heard, John 6:63? And that's not even a mystery scripture. If you haven't, I'm just going to read it to you here. John 6:63. Oh my, oh me. This is what Wells does when I'm listening to his tapes. I think he was, I'm getting to be his age. he goes like that. John 6:63, the Lord says, and I'm not comparing myself with Wells by no means. I love the guy and I'd love to learn from his tapes. John 6:63, it is the Spirit that quickeneth, gives life. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. That's why Paul could say in Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is alive and sharper than any two-edged sword. Discerning or penetrating into the bone and marrow, and deep into the thoughts and intents of the heart. Jesus can do that. He knows your very, very thoughts and intents. All those things he knows about me. Even the bad things that he'll say to me, the bad things. I died for those things at Calvary's cross. Remember? That I saved you since before the foundations of the world when the Lamb was slain. Hello? Yes. Thank you. I accept that, Lord. I love you, love you, love you. Amen. Thank you. Oh, I wrote it down, Hebrews 4:12, too. There. Three of many references encourage us, period. It is a good thing. A good thing is kalos. That's one way to say a good thing, kalos. There is another one that is pronounced agathos. Agathos. It is a good thing. You remember all the places that the scriptures, where the scripture shows the word good. And I'll just mention one of them. They thought Jesus Christ was good, and Jesus Christ says, "Why callest me thou good? Because only God is good." Actually, the Lord is saying, "I am God." Isn't he beautiful, the way he says? He doesn't come over here and say, "I'm God, you know." No. God is good. Why callest you me good? You must know something good. So again, he opens up the scripture. Okay. It is a good thing, Carlos, to have a delineation pattern. That word pattern is tupos, of sound words. That's 2 Timothy 2:15, 2 Timothy 1:13, pattern, tupos. Tupos is the stem. And to give you one Greek word in tupos, it's hupo, which means superlative. It's a prefix. That's a prefix. And then the stem, hupos, tupos, sin, is the termination of the hupo, tupos, sin. That means a form of sound words, or have a delineation of sound words. Okay. Tupos, in the old days, this word was used to strike. To strike. They used to use, I'll go back to multilith equipment for printing. You would take a stamp and you hit it, and it'll make an imprint. That's the word tupos, a strike or impress made by a hard substance on a softer one. Then model, pattern, exemplar in its widest sense. But in the closer sense, the one affecting the church closer yet. God's love leads us to... God's love leads us to that written words up there. What does it say? Read it out loud. He leads us to a form of sound words, rightly dividing the word of truth from the text. And you rightly divide it by taking the stem and you divide it into hooper, the prefix, and then the suffix sin, and you have hupo tupo sin, have a form of sound words. I know this is getting, but I only have a few more pages here. I'm going to go a little faster. 3-4. No, I better go from the beginning here. In the true sense, the inflected word hupo tupesin, that's in 1 Timotheon, that's what we say it in Greek, Timothy, 1 Timothy 1:16. Paul, the pattern or example, Paul was actually a perfect example of long-suffering. We learned that, we didn't learn it at Peru, but we discussed it at Peru when we discussed the prize of the high calling. And the prize of the high calling, it's much closer today than it was then, at Peru. And especially now that the Lord... I saw something here by Mr. Bullinger. I'm not going to read it now, but he says, you pursue the original text and the original meaning of the text, and God will open up, the Lord Jesus Christ will open up the scriptures to you. And true enough, because it's in the Word. Okay, things above mind, not the things on the earth. You died. See, the first word there looks like A-N-W, and it is ano. The first letter is a PH. I'm going to go fast. You can ask questions when we get to the alphabet. This will be covered in the alphabet, so I'm not going to go that far yet. And the life of you has been hidden with Christ in God whenever Christ is manifest. Okay, it doesn't sound like good English, but in the Greek, it makes perfect sense. Because in the Greek, word form or word formation doesn't mean much. It means a lot in English because we speak English. But as you learn the stem, the prefix and the termination of a Greek word, you will know exactly what the meaning is, plus you'll know how to say it in English and what its real meaning is. Like moderation and gentleness and different words like that. There's more. We're going to get to that later. Okay, some key words are as follows. Urgent to remember, strike. I already told you that, what strike meant. And that's to strike, and then you'll come up with an impression. Okay. Things above mind, not the things on the earth, for you died, and your life, or Christ was our life, and the life of you has been hidden with Christ in God. Root. Let the leading truths of the gospel be deeply rooted in the mind. That's what affection means. That's for the word affection. Now, the word affection is phronete. That's the word above mind there. But to explain what it means, you look at the word down there that says root. Let the leading truths of the gospel be deeply rooted in the mind. And affections deeply rooted in the inner man, in the inner man, in the new man. Christ is to be firmly united to him by faith and love, well established in the belief of his person and teachings or doctrines. Ephesians 3:17 and Colossians 2:7. Mike, take 3:17 if you would. And somebody take 2:7.
Colossians 3:17.
Ronnie, take 2:7. Ephesians 3:17, Mike. Colossians 2:7 for Ronnie. You already changed it.
Hey, Ed.
Yes.
Could I ask you to define the word inflected?
Yes.
Parking lot.
What? Oh, I'm sorry. Parking lot.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry.
Okay. Just real quick. I'm not putting it off. The word inflected are the completed words that you find here. For example, pleroma. Pleroma is fullness. We know that. It's a beautiful word, one of the most beautiful words in the scripture. They're all beautiful words in the scripture. One of the most beautiful, can you imagine? That's a paradox. Okay, we have inflected words here. They are complete. You have the prefixes, you have the suffixes, you have the stem, you have the conjugation of the verbs, you have the definite articles, you have the breathing marks, you have everything you complete in the text. In fact, it is known that this text, way back in its inception, used to be pronounced musically. Musically, it was a musical language. Beautiful. Pupo tu pesin. And, you know, something like a southern draw they have for English in the Carolinas.
They do.
Yeah. It's a musical language. Beautiful. Beautiful English. Put that in Greek, man, I love it. Well, I love it anyway.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. There's more to it. It's a very, very lengthy explanation, especially if you're going to learn the Greek language, because that's the ultimate, the inflected or lexical word. It's the word that belongs in the analytical lexicon. Okay, the scripture 3:17 and Colossians. Your first, Mike.
Okay, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love.
Okay, we just discussed that. Ronnie.
Okay, Colossians 2:7.
2:7, yeah.
Rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving.
Just listen to those words, and those are just English. They're dynamite. They're dynamite in English. That's what we have, and that's why we love the Word of God, because the Lord, by his grace, has seen fit to give us and share with us his beautiful word. And it's up to us to appreciate what men like Paul, Bullinger, Welch, Baker, Joel Watkins, Bob, and everybody else there, Marie, and all those people that are listening and take the time to say, what have you got to say? What does this mean? What is the mystery? What's this all about? It sounds so good. Heavenly places sounds like, it just sounds like heaven. That's what it is. Okay, we are in page what? Five? Page 5, hon? Yeah. Okay, parts of speech. I'm going to repeat that each is a system, that is noun, pronoun, verb, adjective, etc., conjunction, particles. I'm going to go through all that. Okay, we went through that already. So I'll go to page 6. There's a question here. Here's a question. The question is, how do we obtain the true literal translation? How do we obtain it? It sounds great. But how do we get it? Answer? We learn the Koine Greek, of course, in the light of God's current administration, or oikonomia. This is what we talked about just a while ago over dinner, and we're going to discuss it now again. Especially in the light of God's current administration. God knows about this administration. It's His administration. There's not very many of us. Not in the U.S. anyway. I don't know about other parts of the world, but I'm sure they're there because the Lord has a church of the one body. And it's an administration or stewardship. And the Greek word is oikonomia. Do you see it up there, everybody? It's oikonomia. The word fellowship of the mystery, if you would read fellowship up there, you would be reading koinonia.
Does everybody see it?
No.
Move it so they can see it. It's a second sentence.
Yeah. You got a laser.
Oh, I've got a laser here.
Laser.
Yeah. I'll get it right in my eye here.
Yeah, I don't do that.
Right there. Oikonomia. Can everybody see it now?
Can everybody see it?
Yep.
Oikonomia. That is in the text. Oikonomia. If you look at some texts, you'll see koinonia. But that's fellowship. And let me tell you, folks, this is so important. Let's say Lloyd over there. I'm going to use Lloyd as an example. Lloyd, this example will happen here on Earth. Lloyd, I have an administration. It's called oikonomia, and I need to form a body. And I'm going to put you in this administration. And I want you to do this and that. Tell others about it. Tell them that I'm going to be heading up the church. This is the Lord talking. I got ahead of myself. This is President. Who's a good president around here in the United States? Somebody tell me.
Ronald Reagan.
Theodore Roosevelt.
Okay, FDR. And I need you for this. And I need you for this administration.
Theodore.
Oh, Theodore. Okay. And I need you, Lloyd, for this administration. And I'm putting you in this administration. Go tell others. Tell them that I sent you. That I met you in Damascus. And you're part of this. You're going to be part of this body. We're going to call it the Church of the One Body. And this, and you tell them this is the gospel of today. Spread the word. Proclaim Christ. Go to 2 Timothy 4:2, Jim. 4:2. 2 Timothy 4:2. Okay. Now, thank you, Lloyd, for that. You did write well when you wrote to Timothy. There. And 4:2.
Preach the word against in season, out of season, reprove the youth, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine.
Okay. Preach the word. That word there is keruxon ton logon. It means herald Christ Jesus. Proclaim him. Proclaim the word. Yeah. Do that. But also proclaim what I've told you. That's also proclaim the word. That goes without saying. But that's Kareksong Ton Logon. We learn in the light of God's current administration, oikonomia, or stewardship, committed to Paul, from Paul to the church of the one body, Paul said to be imitators of him, of Christ. God's language in the truth of the word is inspired and is to be rightly divided, dissected, straightly or cut. I'm repeating that. As Christ said in John 6:63, that the flesh profits nothing, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. That's kind of like I'm repeating that, but that's intentional. Now, hupotupesin is a delineation, a representation or pattern of sound words, pattern of forms or words. Parsing noun. I was going to get to inflections, but I'm not in this page. But parsing, when you parse a word, this is part of the science that all of your seminaries, they're teaching Greek. There's a lot of people teaching Greek, but they are not teaching Greek in the light of today's administration, the mystery, the dispensation of the mystery. They're teaching it just like they teach the English that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John stuff and the Pentecost stuff, you know. And then they get so tired of the Greek that they go to something else. See? They don't want to learn. But to learn this in the figures of speech and in the text and in the lexical words and good books like this one here, it looks like a book of nothing. But it's a New Testament Greek for beginners. You master this and you won't be any beginner if you do it in the light of the dispensation of the mystery. Today, the dispensation of the mystery, the administration of the mystery, is a very, very important. You can't stress the importance of today's gospel. There is no other gospel for you or for me. I'm not saying not to pay attention to the rest of the scriptures, because all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable, like I mentioned a while ago. But it's not for you. Only this is for you. I mean, not this, but what we're discussing. The administration of the mystery. It's lovely. It's lovely to proclaim Christ. It's lovely to proclaim the mystery. And you proclaim the mystery, and I've tried it. People will listen to you when you tell them about the mystery, knowing that they're saved already, and you start preaching the mystery to them. The Lord will hold their attention, and they'll give you an ear. But if you start with salvation and you go to Pentecost and you tell them everything else, and hey, they get bored and they'll just walk right out on you. But it's not you that's doing it anyway. You're proclaiming the word, and it's the word that's doing it. It's the word that is alive and doing the job. Praise the Lord for teachers and speakers that come from miles away to come and teach and preach what they know, what the Lord has taught them. The Lord taught them these things. You didn't learn it from any high school or any grade school or anything like that. You are learning from the Master because you love His current news, current good news. Okay, I said a while ago that Greek is a synthetic language. What makes it synthetic, and I'm just going to not read all this, I'm just going to explain it. It's synthetic because you can take one stem and make a sentence out of it with a prefix, a termination, a stem or a root, whatever you want, whatever you've got. So That's what makes it synthetic, synthetic language. Oh, before I forget, does anybody here have a dictionary of 1828? Good. Now I don't have to explain a lot of the stuff. If you have any questions, look it up in the dictionary. It's one of the best dictionaries I have ever laid my hands on. You will find a dictionary today that explains something about the Bible, like this dictionary does. It's not scripture, but it gives you something about the scriptures. And a lot of times it's not even that accurate, but it's good. And it's got in there, they've got a design there that says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And you've got to know that that's true, because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Boy, is there ever liberty. In this gospel of today, the Lord Jesus Christ has opened up heaven to you. He has opened up everything he owns and has for you and for me. Praise the Lord. I'll be studying up there at home. I've got a second floor, a crow's nest, I call it. It used to be my daughter's room. She went away to college, and I made a study out of it. I called it a crow's nest. I've got to go downstairs where Kathy's working in the kitchen. I said, honey, listen to this. You've got to listen to this. It's amazing. She must get tired of it. But she doesn't. She says, tell me. This is Rich. Okay, you change it to number 7. There, can you read the top line?
There is a wealth.
Go ahead, read it out loud.
There is a wealth of information and inflected words they have.
Okay, thank you. That's good. Oh, okay, go ahead.
Their proper prefix, kept in stem, given their suffixes and accents. The general meaning in good lexicons is given in the stem. The lexical meaning is in the inflection.
There's your answer.
Thank you.
Yeah. I'll repeat it. There is a wealth of information in inflected words. There are also lexical words in a good lexicon. They have been given their proper prefix. God has given it its proper prefix. God has rightly divided his word of truth. And it stays that way. It just, many versions have changed it. But it's stays the same. The general meaning, when I give their proper prefix, kept its stem, given their suffixes and accents. The general meaning in good lexicons is given in the stem. The lexical meaning is in the inflection. English is an analytical language. We have a translation of the New Testament. It is in the English analytical language. English requires extra words for sentence structure or order to comprehend the Koine Greek, but lacks the intensity of the inspiration that otherwise is contained in God's ancient language, the text. We have the AGNT available. And I'm sure you got a textus receptus or something to that effect, which is also excellent. The Koine Greek is really a language of expression and thought. Their words are expressions of thought. In words, like the Lord says, I'd love to use John 6:63 and Hebrews 4:12 because the word is definitely alive. Providing for us a positive approach to prove all things as the true Berean example, to know and love the current dispensation is to love Jesus Christ, love the doctrinal and the practical aspects of the book of Ephesians and Colossians and its counterpart. Load up with much. Oh, thank you. Load up with as much Koine Greek we are able to stand. That is, without running over and pressed down. Heralding Christ is to herald the text as given to its writers, the prophets, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Paul. All these fellas, especially Paul. Okay, well, I got it in mind when I said especially Paul, before we start with the alphabet, especially Paul, because Paul is called the chief of sinners. That is a bomb rap, folks. He's not the chief of sinners. He is in the Greek language the chief of sinners, but chief of sinners, this means first. Who can find that scripture for me? Look for it while I'm talking, if you can. The chief of sinners. Because the very next verse uses the word first, and it's the identical same Greek word as chief. Chief means first in the Greek, Koine Greek. So Paul was first. He was the first sinner into the church of the one body. Everybody believe that? Yeah, absolutely. He was first, not chief of sinners. He was the first sinner to get into the church of the one body.
Yeah, that's 1 Timothy 1:15, I believe.
Thank you, Ronnie. 1 Timothy, again? 1:15, thank you.
Yeah, I think CB means it means first or foremost.
Chief means what?
First or foremost.
Thank you, Ron. There's your answer, right there. This faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came to the world to save sinners, of whom I am first. And then he uses first in the very next verse, howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. So as of tonight, folks, you can say, I find and I speak for precious Paul, who God selected, and people in religion and other denominations have called him chief of sinners. And there's no way he can be chief of sinners anyway, because those who crucified Jesus Christ ought to be called chief of sinners, not Paul. Amen. Boy. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Boy, that's good. I like you guys.
We like you too.
Okay, page 8, we're on there. We're going to go... what did I say good was a word for good a while ago? Anybody?
Agathos.
Agathos. Okay, now, A is for Agathos. It's pronounced Agathos. What did I say?
Eight.
See, English is definitely a barrier.
Somebody.
Okay, alpha is the first letter in the word or form, agathos, which means good, is found in Philippians 1:6. 1:6, somebody catch 1:6, Philippians 1:6. Whoever feels like they have found it, and go ahead and do it.
Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ.
Okay, where's the word agathos there? A good work.
Good work.
A good work in you. See, agathos. Mm-hmm. In you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Okay. Here's another good one, and it's going to be Philippians 3:14, and anybody who wants to read is going to get a blessing from this one. So find it as you can. Okay, beta, alpha, beta now. That word for beta is brabeon, and it means prize, 3:14. Anybody? Now say the Greek word for prize. Brabeon.
Brabeon.
Brabeon. Thank you. Very good. Wonderful. Now, rule in Colossians 3:15a. Who's going to do Colossians 3:15a? This is amazing. Somebody? Anybody? Even if you did it before, Ron, if you find it first, go for it. 3:15.
And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you are called in one body.
Okay, where is the word rule in the Greek? starts with beta. It's almost the same word as brabeon, which is prize. But it's brabeyu. I didn't write the word down there, but it's brabeyu for rule. Now, that word rule will amaze you. Listen to this. Not amaze you, bless you. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. That word rule, brabeyu, brabu, brabeyu, means in definition, to let the peace of God umpire in your hearts. Let Him call the shots for you. He'll do a good job. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Okay, now there's more synonymous words for that. And the words are, let Him umpire, let Him arbitrate, let Him comfort, let that peace, His comfort, right, is it not? And He's the comforter anyway. Rule, let the peace of Christ, that word, peace of God there, if you look it up in here, 3:15a of Colossians, I'm going to look it up here for you. And then I'm going to pass it around. This is all Greek, so don't lose your place. This is Philippians, Colossians. Philippians. Colossians 3:15.
But the peace of God will rule in your heart.
Yeah. In the Greek. I'm looking for the Greek word. 3:15. It's brabiuete. Ito. Brabiuete. And yeah, that's good enough. Brabiuete. And it's the beta. Starts with the beta here. And that word there, you would have to find it in the concordance if you don't know Greek. And if you do want to learn Greek, you would look it up in here. We're not going to take the time, otherwise we're going to spend a lot of time doing what this class is not intended for. Number one, I don't know that much Greek, but I'm dying to learn more Greek than I already know. And I know how to learn it. That's what we want to learn. We want to learn how to learn Greek. See? The Lord demands it. He wants it. Like the thelemas a while ago. Thelemas is the will of God. The will of God as compared to the will of Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar has a mysterion also in the Word of God. And his mysterion is according to his, not will, but buleos. That's another will. And that will of Nebuchadnezzar, before he gave his determined will, Bulei, he called all of his lieutenants, chiefs. What are they called back then? Not
advisors.
Advisors. What else?
Religious heads.
Religious heads, okay. Counselors. Advisors. He called them all in. And then he makes his bulei, his determination, based on their counsel. Okay, now, the will of God, the will of the Lord Jesus Christ, he makes his determination to establish an administration like ours, like his, rather. He's the head, ours. And he didn't call any advisors. He had a deep, loving desire to design a purpose without anybody's counsel but his own thelemas, will. See the difference? Beautiful, beautiful difference. That's what you get from the empty, I'll call it text, just a text. Beautiful. Praise the Lord.
I wanted to get that
deliver it to you folks because it's so important. You know where I found it? Bullinger's Figures of Speech. If you go to the last page of this book here, this is by Bullinger, and if you go to the index in the back, it starts with Ephesians 1, and it's got the verse here, verse 7 and 18, and verse 8, verse 9, 13, 14, 18, 19, and it's got the page number where the structure, where the figures is, right here. And you go to the various pages, and then you'll find an ellipses, you'll find an epandiplosis, you'll find a synecdoche, you find different figures of speech that you'll find in your companion Bible on appendix number 6. You'll find all of those in there. Each of them has a definite meaning. Definite meaning. Like ellipses. I'm not going to go into that because then we'll kill a lot of time. And the first thing we need to learn is the alphabet. First thing. Number one, right there. We're going to go a little faster now that we covered that. Gamma. Alpha, beta, gamma. The word gamma is... Who dares to say it? Anyone? Nobody?
Grammata.
Grammata, but it's, of course, the accent.
Oh, it's on...
Grammata.
Thank you. Who said that?
I don't know.
You did.
You did?
Yeah.
Grammata. That's right. Grammata. And it's the other one is grammasin. And it means letters. It means letters of the alphabet. We are to learn the alphabet. That's John 7:15, John 5:47. If you want a copy of all of this here, I'll be happy to make you copies and I'll send it to you. I'll make the copies. It only costs a nickel a copy to my library in Brookings, South Dakota. And I'll be happy to send this to you. John 5:47, 2 Corinthians 3:7, Galatians 6:11, Grammata. Okay, alpha, beta, gamma, delta. Delta is who dares to say that word? Anybody?
Dioko.
Thank you. Who said that?
I did.
Thank you. She's right. Dioko. Because that's where the accent is, under the omega. Who can say the letters of Dioko in Greek?
Delta, epsilon, omicron,
nope.
Kappa.
Nope. Hold on, hold on. I'll say stop if you're wrong, but don't feel bad. It's all right.
Okay.
It's delta, iota,
omega.
Omega.
Oh, yeah, it is.
Next one?
Yeah, it is.
Kappa. Again, in the next one?
Omega.
Another omega. Okay, delta, iota, omega, kappa, accented. Anytime you write Greek and it has an accent, and when you spell it, you say omega accented. Otherwise, it'd be not the right spelling. You got to put the accent where it goes. See, and pronounce it where it goes, dioko. It means I pursued toward the goal, and that goal, I wrote it down there. I'm not going to ask for volunteers. I'm just going to go on because we want to finish. Not that we're in a big hurry. I sound like I'm in a real big hurry, but I just don't want you to go to sleep. Then we'll have to stop. Okay. The word goal is... Skopan, Philippians 3:14 again. Yeah, talking about the prize of the high calling, and that'd be the mark of the prize of the high calling or the goal of it. You guys remember that, don't you, Ronnie? In Peru. Peru was a good place, wasn't it? Beautiful. It's nice. That Bob discovered it. Good for the day. Did that. What a wonderful thing. What a great group there. Yeah. If you see them, tell them we all send regards and thanks and still appreciate them. I do, for sure. The next one is epsilon. And that word there, I know every one of you knows it. It's epiphanion, the appearing with him, glory. Second Timothy, the no, I'm sorry, that's not the appearing glory. That's Second Timothy 4:8. There's a difference. There's a difference. The word in Colossians is you shall be manifested, not appear. It's manifested in glory. The epiphanion is the appearing where Paul attained, where he had before in Philippians he had not attained, but in 2 Timothy 4:8 he had attained the, and this appearing is what he is going to enjoy, not only to him, but all those who have loved the appearing. Everybody with me there? If so, amen.
Amen.
Amen. I like that. Amen. Yeah. Okay, the next one is Alpha, Beta, Gamma, Delta, Epsilon, Zeta. And the word, example word, is Zoe, which means life. Life that he gives. And the life that he gives is a life that he maintains in Colossians 3:4, and he works on it by his word, and it is a life that he maintains, that he gives, that he protects, that he blesses, that he comforts, and everything else, agathos, about him. Good. Anything good about him that he's got for us. And for how long does he do it? For how long?
Eternally.
How often every day? 24 hours a day, even when you sleep. He does it in perpetuity. In perpetuity. That means perpetual. Without intermission. Without intermission. Isn't that lovely?
That is.
Amen, yeah. It is lovely. Zoe. Thank you. 24. Now I understand. 24/7. Yeah. Okay, we're going to go to Eta. The Eta normally has, notice that reverse comma on top of the Eta. That is what they call an aspirated sound. Aspirated is like a rough breather. And it's instead of Eta, it's He. Hegumenoi, which means esteem others better than you. Philippians 2:3. Okay, the next one is Theta. Eta, Theta. So far, if you'll go with me, it's Alpha, Beta, Gamma, Delta, Epsilon, Zeta, Eta. Now, Theta. Theta. And that's Theta. We'll use the word thelematos, which is God's good pleasure. And it's the pleasure of His will to design His wonderful purpose without anybody's counsel to give us and place us into the current administration of the mystery. Praise the Lord. Okay, Iota. This is kind of a hard word to pronounce, but just to make it easy, I'll just say iskus. It's like the CH sound. In the Koine Greek, it's a lot like the